Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Brought to you by Metro Rooter. Jaguars Today coming to you live from Everbank Field. Mike Dempsey and Fat Tony here with you on 1010 XL 92.5 FM, where, at least for some, it's the best day ever, Tony.
at least one guy.
Around Everbank.
We know at least one guy, it's the best day ever.
Sergio Brown is easily amused as the Jaguars, as is the case as you get around the National Football League, particularly in the city. We've seen it over the course of the years. A little team bonding today,
yeah,
right? We're going to skip practice or working out or whatever it was we were going to do football-related, and the brass has taken the players to go see a pre-screening of Entourage, mm-hmm. the movie, which
opens in a couple weeks.
It's a, I mean, I watched Entourage. It was okay. I don't know about these TV show to big screen adaptations. I guess I'm not a fan of too many of those that I can think of off the top of my head. Sergio Brown tweeted out a little video of himself, how excited he was. I guess he had some Entourage DVDs.
Yeah, he was holding them up in the car.
He's really into it.
He was so into this whole Entourage thing.
Tom Brady's making an appearance in the new Entourage movie, by the way.
Yes, he is.
I heard he is doing as such, and look, he's a jet setter, man. What, you know, I'm going to knock the guy for making a cameo in a movie. I wonder if they get paid for that. From the sounds of it, a lot of people want it to be in a little walk-on roles. If you've never seen Entourage, it's
kind of what the show is.
Yeah, it's a bunch of walk-ons, right? Yeah. A bunch of scenes like that, a bunch of cameos.
Which is why it may translate pretty well to the big screen.
And maybe it will.
It'll just be 2 hour. It's just a 2 hour episode of that.
Don't get me wrong. Once I see Age of Adeline, I'll be right in line to go check that out after my second or third viewing.
You know how much I go to the movies, Mike. I mean,
a lot.
I'm there every week. Virtually every weekend, I make it a point to get out to the movies at least once. I didn't even know what Age of Adeline was.
Seriously?
No idea.
I've seen previews for it.
No idea what that movie is.
I knew it was one that, you know, I guess
I'm not even
a lot
in
of
theaters.
Girls would like to go see.
Right. I'm not even in theaters where they'd show me that preview.
No, but I see you haven't seen it on TV at all?
No.
I guess you haven't.
No.
I've seen it plenty on TV.
Either that or I tune it out. Like,
maybe you and I don't watch the same shows. Maybe I've been watching The Voice
too
much.
You watch The Voice, yeah.
That might be it. That may be where the only place I've seen it.
I guarantee you I haven't seen The Voice.
I told you the long-haired hippie kid was the man. He won it last night going away. I told my wife, this is the easiest laydown in the history of television. If this show is not fixed, the kid with the long hair will win, and then he will go on to have like a 40-year career. He'll be James Taylor or Van Morrison or one of these guys. I thought they a little CCR was a little too much for him last night. Mm. But anyway, maybe that's where I saw it. I have no idea. So Sergio Brown's fired up. They're going on a little team building today as far as that goes. So good for the Jacksonville Jaguars. The other guy you mentioned there, Tom Brady, he's not so much in the news yesterday, but the shadow hanging over him is
right
still
on
out
the
there.
Edge of the screen.
He's kind
of
right. He's kind of like, oh, who is that? If I had a wider screen, better resolution, I might pick up that guy standing off to the side. Robert Kraft falls on a sword yesterday. He talks about the rhetoric. He started all the rhetoric. He started the rhetoric back after the story first came out, where he was demanding an apology prior to any findings of what happened. Say, hey, you're going to exonerate these our team. You're either going to have a smoking gun or we want a full apology. And which is kind of a weird way to put it, isn't it? I mean, wouldn't you want to say there is no smoking gun? It's like either you catch us, either you really find the evidence that we're doing such a good job of hiding, or you're going to apologize to us.
Right.
I don't know if they found all the evidence. I don't know if they had the smoking gun, but there's no apology coming, Bob. And, you know, then it switched to we're going to accept any punishment that the league gives us, which I guess ultimately became true after much hemming and hawing. They put out the 20,000-word manifesto backing up their position and ripping apart the Wells report. But in the end, Tony, as watching all the coverage of this yesterday, as the, you know, we leave shortly after we go off the air, it's announced that the Patriots will not seek an appeal of the findings against the team, which is the $1 million fine, loss of two draft picks over the next two drafts. And obviously they won't sue in court. That was the point that would Bob Kraft ever really go that far outside the NFL structure? We saw Al Davis do those kind of things. Bob Kraft is such an establishment type guy that would he take that move, even if he felt like he was wronged in the situation and sue the league? Well, once you get in the court of law, it's not a case of, no, we're not going to produce this witness. No, we're not going to produce this cell phone. No, we're not going to produce this. There, anything is fair game once you get in a court of law, if you are required to present that information, and you're not going to be able to hide behind much of anything once you get to that point. So there may have been questions they didn't want answered under oath as far as that went. And I think the question a lot of people are asking around the National Football League today, is this an admission of guilt by the Patriots?
Sure.
They're going to claim no. But, Tony, I'm sorry. I get convicted of something, and I have appeal rights, and I don't exercise them. I mean, look, even if the appeal is futile, you know, the effort is ultimately, if everyone tells you the odds are 1 billion to 1 against you, I mean, maybe there's a point where you stop fighting. I don't know. But for all the rhetoric that was coming out of Robert Kraft to now just say, oh, we're going to accept it now, I don't know if you can have it both ways. I mean, to me, once you accept that penalty, the Patriots have now received basically the two harshest punishments other than Bountygate in the history of the National Football League, right? They lost a first-round draft pick and had huge fines for Bill Belichick for Spygate, and now still a looming suspension for Tom Brady. Even if it's reduced to two games, you would have the National Football League basically branding Brady a cheater. And it's just a matter of degree on what the punishment is going to be if it comes to that. And right now, by accepting the penalties and taking the fine and the loss of draft picks, the New England Patriots, in a lot of people's minds, have cemented the fact that if you're not going to fight it, you're accepting it. And this whole era is going to have somewhat of a shadow cast over it.
No, it will. And I get that for some fans the entire time throughout this process. There's been the rhetoric out there of, look, how much did it really help the Patriots in that game? And they seem to be assuming that it only happened in that game. You go back to, look, the text messages that were exchanged were in May. The guy called himself the deflator in May, which is the off season. That's a year ago.
It's a good time to lose weight.
That's a year ago where he's making, I guess, what the Patriots call a joke or talking about his weight loss, whatever you want to call it. He calls himself the deflator last May. So that's before the season even gets started. It seems like it's talking about something that's already happened in the past. So for me, I'm talking about the last two seasons at least with the New England Patriots trying to get away with this kind of thing in my own mind. Now, if you don't think it has any effect on the outcome of games, you don't have to. But there are guys like me and thousands of other NFL fans who do think that it may affect the outcome of games.
Otherwise,
because,
why would you do it?
Right. But that's kind of, that goes back to Spygate too. When Robert Kraft went and talked to Bill Belichick about that, and he said, did you gain anything by doing this? Ask Bill Belichick, did you gain anything by doing this? And Belichick was like, no.
Yeah, but you know what? And I understand that part of the conversation. I heard that brought up yesterday as well. But the question to me would be, did you think you might?
Right.
And that's kind of the point.
That's the bigger question, is they're trying to do it because they feel like it might give them an advantage. And look, I think that it does have some effect on the game. I do. I think that if Tom Brady has a ball that is below the regulation deflation level, whatever that happens to be, however that happens to happen, and it makes it easier for him to grip the ball, and that's a team that fumbles less than anybody else in the National Football League. They have this little short passing game, and it's what they've been doing for the last several years since they lost Randy Moss a handful of years ago. If that's the way they're playing football and they're not turning the ball over, then yeah, I think it may have an effect on what that offense is doing in games. And we all talk about every week, one of the biggest keys going into any NFL game is turnover margin.
Sure. It's maybe the key.
Right. It's how much you turn it over versus how much they turn it over. And if they're doing something that is outside the rules that directly affects that statistic in a football game, potentially, then yeah, I do think they need to be nailed to the wall for what's going on.
Is the Super Bowl tainted in your mind?
Yes.
I think it has to be.
Yes.
I think it has to be. if you are going to say that along the way you cheated, and really, if, again, I go back to any portion of Brady's suspension is upheld, then had it been done in a more timely fashion, had the investigation been done, he should have been suspended for the Super Bowl.
Right.
But that was the next game that you're going to play rather than the following season. I never understand that kind of logic. Like, we're not going to suspend him for the postseason. Although, we've seen that happen before in other sports as well, where a suspension is going to get served in the regular season, which seems kind of dumb to me. So I agree with you. I think it is in that fact. And you can't have it both ways. You can't withdraw. You can't argue in the court of public opinion this. And when a push comes to shove, you say, hey, you know what, I'm going to do it for the good of the National Football League and all this stuff. Well, you knew the good of the National Football League existed before you threw all this rhetoric out there. I think he was trying to sway public opinion on this and ultimately says he didn't want to step outside the boundaries and challenge the league. And I'll say this, no owner from this point forward is going to have any ground to stand on when it comes to appealing any decision by Roger Goodell, right? Because clearly the Patriots feel like they were wrong, at least by their 20,000-word rebuttal to the Wells report, feel like they were wrong. Yet, if Robert Kraft's going to fall on his sword, it's going to take a maverick owner far, far to the side of Robert Kraft to ever challenge anything directly that's levied against the team in the National Football League. Think about it, Tony. You go back to Dallas and Washington, right? When they had the uncapped year with no salary cap. Mm-hmm. And both teams get penalized for actually playing by the rules that were laid down that year. You know, there was a wink nod agreement, seemingly, that teams were going to collude to keep spending down that year. And honestly, that's probably the strongest point the players have. And they've given it up in collective bargaining, the right to go after that, because they accepted the penalties imposed on the Redskins and the Dallas Cowboys. But if I were the Cowboys and the Redskins, I would have fought that like crazy, but they didn't. And here's another example that owners just will not break ranks. And, you know, that says something about the league and the strength of the league as a whole. But if you're a fan of the Patriots today, you are furious that your owner laid down his sword and is not going to continue to fight this, especially after telling you, the fan base, that no one in this organization did anything wrong.
Right.
It defies logic to a lot of people out there. So what? You don't want to upset the apple cart. What's going to happen? Is the league going to fold? Is the TV contract going to get ripped up? Nothing catastrophic is going to happen if Robert Kraft challenges Roger Goodell, other than the fact that Roger Goodell's sole authority is going to be on shakier ground and maybe open for attack by the National Football League Players Association, which it's going to be anyway in the Brady case. But
sure, I mean, it's not like the Brady thing's going away. They're still appealing that decision of his 4-game suspension. We'll see where it winds up with that, because there's a lot of talk about a backdoor deal being made between those two sides, and I wouldn't be surprised if there was. Like, on Monday night when I saw that conversations have started behind closed doors, essentially, between the Patriots and the league, I was like, Brady's going to get off. Like, that was the first thought I had, was Brady's going to get off on this, because the team feels like they can handle all that other stuff a lot better than they could playing without Tom Brady for a month of a season for a team that may be towards the end of a window of winning championships. And immediately when I saw that bit of news, I was like, Tom Brady's suspension is going to get reduced at the very least and probably taken away.
If it's taken away, you can argue then, if you're a Brady backer, that that's basically a finding of no wrongdoing, if you want to argue that, if he doesn't receive any direct punishment.
Sure.
But even if the suspension is reduced to one game, that's a finding of guilt. As far as I'm concerned,
no,
it's just
it is
a matter of the sentence, the length of the sentence.
No, it is. And then it's almost like the penalties for the Patriots become more about the fact that they weren't willing to cooperate with the league. And this is a team that has been caught cheating in the past, so the league was a little bit more harsh with them than they would be with a lot of the other teams. Look, we had two examples of teams messing with the footballs last year in Carolina and Minnesota. Those teams got fined, because when the league came to them after those incidents, they said, hey, what was up with this? They were like, yeah, we shouldn't have been doing that. Like, they were just trying to heat up the ball during the game so that it wouldn't affect what the ball was doing. So they went to those teams and said, you can't do that kind of thing. And they said, all right. And they fined those teams. Now, the New England Patriots, they get caught doing something like this. They're like, we didn't do anything. And then when you put out a report that says that you, they might have done something, they refute it point by point. They have their owner, they have the star player's lawyer and agent out there attacking the league on every single front. They're not fully cooperating with an investigation. While there was an investigation at all, maybe ridiculous to some people, but it went on, and the Patriots fought it every step of the way. And that, in part, is why they're facing the penalties they are.
By the way, there was an item on PFT, I believe, over the weekend that said, for the record, the Vikings didn't try to heat up the footballs. I forget the specifics of the story because it was such a minor story when it happened. So I'm not even sure that that, you know, of what occurred in that circumstance. But point taken on all the rest. If you want to weigh in on that today, we'll hear from Robert Kraft and why he says the Patriots now will accept the league's punishment, and others will weigh in on that as well. 641-1010 is the phone number to get in, as well as the number on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It is movie day. We're not going to see Entourage because it's not in the theaters for us yet. However, with the Jaguars going to see Entourage, we thought a question of the day could be movie-related, and thus it is this. What movie would you watch to get your team fired up before playing a football game? What's the best inspirational movie to go out there and rip the other team's metaphoric heads off, as far as that goes? So it's brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships. You can tweet your answers at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and of course post on the Jaguars Today Facebook page on the call and text line, 641-1010. We'll also get into Luke Jokel, Mike DiRocco writing about Luke Jokel. Is this a make or break year for the Jaguar left tackle? We'll talk about that. Four teams in the bidding for the 2019 and 2020 Super Bowls. Discuss that a little bit as we go along as well. And yes, extra points are longer now, and even that will find its home on Jaguars Today this morning. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with you live at Everbank in a moment on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Mike, frequent texter of the program, or tweeter, I should say. So I will. Frequent tweeter of the program, at KayakFish, said he's a big Entourage fan. Probably the last series he's watched, but please, Jags, enjoy the movie, but don't recreate any scenes tonight. Is Sasha Gray going to make an appearance in the Entourage movie?
I do not know.
She had a memorable season as Vince's love interest, if you want to call it love, on Entourage back in the day. Final showing of Late Night with David Letterman tonight as well. Tony, this is how old I am. I actually remember as a kid watching the David Letterman show. Not Late Night, but the David Letterman show, which was on NBC. In, I want to say it was on at like 11 in the morning or something. I may be wrong on the time. But I had to look up when it ran. Ran from June 23rd to October 24th, 1980.
Oh,
it wasn't a long run. And then in 1982, Late Night with David Letterman debuted. The series, the show originally was a 90-minute show, then cut down to 60 minutes from August 4th onward. Critical success, but not kind of out of place. It was 1980. People didn't know what to make of David Letterman and the Home Office and all his little gags. Favorite part of Letterman over the years? Were you a big Letterman fan over the years?
I used to watch it quite a bit. Not so much lately, no.
Stupid human tricks.
I like stupid human tricks. Stupid pet tricks are fun.
I like when he just dropped stuff off the roof. Was always good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just smash things out in the park or in the street, whatever the case may be. There's probably a bunch of them. Remember the Alka-Seltzer suit?
Yeah.
That was pretty good. And the Velcro suit too was pretty good when he I want to say he jumped up and bounced against the wall and stuck in the Velcro suit, but Crispin Glover, almost
still my favorite,
probably on acid. He was probably, yeah. I don't know, Crispin Glover's just a weird guy. If you've never seen it, you can YouTube that one anytime you like.
It's still the best.
It's out there, and he's freaking out. He almost kicked Dave right in the face.
Yep.
With some like platform shoes or whatever he was wearing.
Don't forget about that. Joaquin Phoenix.
Right. Joaquin Phoenix, was that
was all promotion.
Right, it was like a setup where Joaquin Phoenix goes crazy, right? Yeah.
He had that documentary movie, I'm using air quotes here in the studio, the documentary,
yes,
about his life, which
he's going to be a hip-hop star, right?
Yeah, he was going to go into hip-hop, and he was terrible at that, but it was like hanging out with Puff Daddy and like trying to get somebody to promote his album and doing all kinds of stuff. Like he was abusing the people around him. It was a really, really weird
concept art
movie. And the fact that Casey Affleck just kind of went along with it the entire time. Those two were the only two that I think were inside on the joke. I think they were trying to play a joke on everybody else on the planet at the time. But yeah, his interview on Letterman was, it was just like, what?
It was just weird.
Is up with
right,
this
but
guy?
If you know, in hindsight, I mean, Crispin Glover is that weird. Joaquin Phoenix was trying to play that weird.
He pulled it off.
For that, oh, he did. He did pull it off. Dave, I want to say Dave walked off the set with Crispin Glover. He's like, all right, that's it. Because it was towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And he didn't stick around. He's like, see ya. I'm not going to get kicked in the face on my own show tonight. I remember watching, Man, Tony, I remember watching Carson's last show, and then I watched Leno's last show. I never really got into the Jay Leno show. Jay Leno used to be an edgy comic. People probably don't realize. Edgier, anyway. Mm-hmm. He became Mr. Softball, everybody's friend. I guess, you know,
sure.
That's the,
late
the
night
spot
will do that
you're
to you.
In. Right. Yeah. You're the corporate head of talk shows is what you are if you're Jay Leno.
You're doing a daily comedy show. Odds are you're going to go to that more mundane point. You're not going to stay on the edges very
right,
long.
Right, because why rock the boat, right? Because yeah. You got it good.
It's not Saturday Night Live.
It's not.
It's a nightly show.
I'm thinking Louie will not be the new host of Late Night. Is there a new host of Late Night?
I'm sure there is. Isn't it Colbert?
Is it Colbert?
I thought it was.
Maybe. I don't know. I haven't watched David Letterman in years, man. I don't even know. I don't even go down to that end of the dial, practically, you know? What I consider the local channels, the broadcast networks,
mm-hmm.
Unless I know something is on. And I'm up that late plenty of times, and I'm always looking for something to watch, but I find myself watching too much Ancient Aliens and garbage like that. All right, not an apropos segue whatsoever, but let's hear what Robert Kraft had to say yesterday, then we'll go to the phone line, 641-1010. This is what he, his press conference consisted of yesterday as a hush fell over the room out at the owners' meetings out in San Francisco as Robert Kraft entered and folks didn't know. Everyone was kind of edgy. Is there going to be turmoil? Is there going to be tension between Goodell and Kraft despite the fact that they had been seen couching together? I don't know exactly what they were seen doing.
Hugging it out on a couch.
Hugging it out. And
that's
and
how
that.
Ridiculous this story is. We got a story about these two men hugging on a couch.
But that story about them hugging it out on a couch, Tony, came out amidst the Monday Morning Quarterback article by Peter King, where he, over the weekend, talked to Robert Kraft, a furious Robert Kraft. So here's Kraft yesterday addressing the assembled press at the owners' meetings.
We have concentrated the power of adjudication of problems in the office of the commissioner. And although I might disagree with what is decided, I do have respect for the commissioner and believe that he's doing what he perceives to be in the best interest of the full 32. So in that spirit, I don't want to continue the rhetoric that's gone on for the last 4 months. I'm going to accept reluctantly what he has given to us and not continue this dialogue and rhetoric, and we won't appeal. Now, I know that a lot of Patriot fans are going to be disappointed in that decision, but I hope they trust my judgment and know that I really feel at this point in time that taking this off the agenda, this is the best thing for the New England Patriots, our fans, and the NFL.
Well, you know, you wonder what he knows that nobody else knows. When he says, trust my judgment on this, if he's just saying, look, trust me that it's better for the league as a whole to do this, and whatever comes will come, then I think they're furious, and they're probably righteously furious. Because do you care? What's best for the league if you're the New England Patriots? Here's what's best for the league, buddy. We just crammed it down your throat for the fourth time in the last 15 years.
Right.
That's what's best for the league. What's best for us, because it's our team. And yes, Robert Kraft has to look out for the best interests of the league as a whole, but they probably feel like they're being thrown under the bus a little bit for sticking their neck out and believing and arguing that all this innocence, and then Kraft just abandons the fight. Now, if he's saying, trust my judgment, wink, wink, and watch Tommy be available for week one.
Right.
That's a bit of a different story. And I think you can sell that. And I think whether or not there is a connection, because there have been conflicting stories about whether or not there's any quid pro quo that's going to be going on. Was there any agreement? The NFL, of course, is going to deny that there's any agreement. But if Brady's suspension is eliminated, then I think everyone's going to make that connection that Robert Kraft fell on his sword, made a backroom deal with Roger Goodell, that it's more important to him to have Tom Brady for four games than it is to pay $1 million and lose a first-round pick next year. Next year is next year, and that first-round pick might not even help you until the year after that, as is the case with a lot of first-round picks. So give me Tom Brady in our window of opportunity on the field, and let's not fall behind the Buffalo Bills or the Miami Dolphins or whoever at the start of the season. That's a lot more sellable, I think, to the New England fan base, but I think either way, fans outside of Foxborough, outside of Boston, outside of Massachusetts are going to look at that organization and say, you got caught again, you got nailed, and they're going to say scoreboard, and other fans are going to say, so what? It came at the cost of cheating. And everyone's going to have their little go-around. You're never really going to settle anything. But at whatever side of the argument you want to fall on, you can make that case. Patriot fans are going to say Robert Kraft didn't accept it. He's just accepting the penalties. But, you know, reasonable people on the other side are going to say you'd fight to the end. If you were innocent and you had appeal rights, would you just give them up? I mean, once you've been sentenced, I understand when you talk about people copping a plea, right? Well, if you go to trial and you get convicted, you could get 20 years in prison, so why don't you take these 6 months, even if you're innocent?
Right.
Okay, people can understand that, even if you say, I would never say I'm guilty if I'm not guilty. You might change your tune if faced with 20 years. But the sentence had already been handed down here to Robert Kraft. This wasn't, I might get 20 years. You're getting this. Here's your sentence. Do you want to have it reduced, or will you just accept it as is? No, we'll accept it as is, because that's for the good of the league. And I get it. I don't doubt that there's some of that going on with Robert Kraft for the good of the league. But I do wonder, the cynic in me, if they don't want to go to the wall with this, because this lunacy about the deflator is a nickname because you're trying to lose weight. There's some obvious things in their story, I think, that people look at and just laugh in their face.
Sure.
And there's no guarantee you go through an appeal that you win. So let's say you go through an appeal, let's say you sue the league, and you still lose. Then what? Now you've been proven to be cheaters in a court of law. Here, you can argue, you know what? We did it for the good of the league, and we're just going to take our medicine and move on. 641-1010, let's get a couple of phone calls going, and we will start with Nick this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Nick. How are you?
Hey, pretty good. Before I get to my point about the
deflators,
are you there?
Yes, we are. What's up?
Okay. Before I get to my point about Deflategate, I wanted to make a couple of points about Goodell and Kraft. Did you guys notice at the draft how the crowd consistently booed Goodell each time he walked to the podium?
Yes, they've been doing that for a year or so.
Okay. I think, and so I guess what I'm wondering is if someone can explain to me what the anti-Goodell thing is. And I know people are going to say, well, it's because of what happened with Ray Rice and all that, but I don't think that's the case, because they were doing it before, as you just said, they were booing him before any of that stuff happened. I think there's like some sort of anti-corporate attitude among fans, NFL fans in general. And then Kraft, I think when he said several times rhetoric, he brought up rhetoric. We're not going to continue this rhetoric. Whose rhetoric? His rhetoric? The league's rhetoric? He didn't bother.
I think he is saying he's not going to. The Patriots are going to drop their anti-league rhetoric, like they're being treated unfairly rhetoric, and they're going to say, you know what? We placed him as the czar of discipline, or Roger Goodell, whatever you want to call him, and we're going to accept his findings, whether we like him or not. We're going to stop trying to stir the pot. We're going to stop proclaiming our innocence. We're going to stop. I think he's talking about their own rhetoric that he's going to drop. That's my
admission
opinion
of guilt, as far as I can tell. And then the last thing I want to say real quick is that what I find really amusing about all this, let's say that Tom Brady played for the Jaguars, and the Jaguars had just gone through a 14 or 15-year dynasty, just like the Patriots had.
Yep.
And then this came out. I'm pretty sure that about 95% of Jaguar fans, if asked, would say that they would, not change a thing about what Brady did. Yeah, he cheated, but look at all the Super Bowls we won. So, I just wonder, and if you could, maybe Jaguar fans can comment about that. I mean, would you, if you were a Patriot fan or Brady were a Jaguar, you know, would the cheating be okay with you considering all the Super Bowls that you won? Thanks.
Gotcha. I think it's a fair question, Nick, and thank you for the call. Tony and I almost kind of made something like that the question of the day, but the movie question was just too pressing. Anyway, Tony, that is a fair question. I think there are two different sides. There are multiple sides to it. One, do you know going in that you're cheating, right?
Right.
Do you want a team that you know is knowingly cheating as you're watching? And
I can tell you for me, no.
Right. But if after the fact you were to found, if you're a Giants fan, if after the fact the same thing had happened with the Giants, would you disavow that championship? Would you not celebrate it? How would you feel about it?
It would be tainted in my own mind. And
okay.
it, for me, it would be.
And I think there are some people, look, I wouldn't choose to cheat to win. But had it gone that way, I think I and a lot of people, if I were a Patriot fan, I'd probably say, hey, scoreboard, right? I mean, in the end, you would rationalize, as I think they're trying to do. Well, what was the outcome of the game? I mean, the second half against the Colts, and they overlooked the aspects. Well, how long was this going on?
Right.
How many close games did this maybe impact that gave you home field, that put you in a position to win that football game?
When you beat Baltimore with a trick play the week before in the divisional round of the playoffs
and
weren't turning the ball over, were you doing the same thing?
When you stand up there and say, hey, Ravens, know the rules.
Right.
And adhere to them, because we do, right? I think that's part of this whole thing, too, is the smugness that comes from both Belichick and Brady. All right, listen, if you're on the line, we'll get to you coming up real quick. We got to take a quick time out here on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. You want to weigh in on Deflategate? Question of the day is, what movie would you suggest watching to get a team fired up pregame to go out there and dominate a football game? I'm guessing it's not Entourage, but that's what the Jags are taking in today, a little pre-screening of Entourage. And according to Sergio Brown, that makes it the best day ever. Metro Rooter Wednesday continues on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, Metro Rooter Wednesday continues here on the program. Metro Rooter for all size plumbing jobs in home, at your business, industrial plumbing, septic systems, you name it, restaurant grease trap service. You can think of plumbing issues that anyone could have. Metro Rooter's got your solution with same-day service, weekends included, the right people, the right equipment. They've been serving Jacksonville since 1978, and they serve the surrounding areas as well. I've had them in my home in St. Augustine when I've had issues, and Metro Rooter has cleaned up the problems immediately. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911, 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor of Jaguars today. Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line open to you at 641-1010 with the question of the day out there. Which movie, which one movie would you play to fire up a team,
mm-hmm.
get ready to go play a football game? That's to paraphrase the way I put that. Dino says 300. On the text line. Gladiator for sure is another one, but only the fight scenes. Okay. I mean, what other scenes would we be talking about in Gladiator? The love scenes? I don't know. I don't know. Hashtag Jaguars
There's
today.
Some drama
hashtag
in there.
No limits.
It won Best Picture.
No, I'm saying, I mean, big action no, I'm not saying, I'm like, he says only the fight scenes makes me think like, you know, like, not the movie Gladiator, but Gladiator movies and the reputation in general.
Right.
Right? Is that what are we talking about here? Exactly, I guess. The program, there's another one thrown in there. Bloodsport, Tony, I know that's one of your personal favorites.
It's been a while since I've seen Bloodsport.
The is last, that Van Damme?
Yeah, the last time I watched it, I was like, oh my God, why did I love this when I was a kid?
Because that dude was kicking people.
Yeah.
And
it was,
you know,
one of those.
You were thinking, man, if I go to the gym every day for the next 3 months, I could be that guy too, right? I don't know. I don't know why it
the
was.
The guy who wrote it claims it's based on a true story, that he actually fought in that tournament, and it's like people have actually investigated the story and found out like he never left California. Like, it's complete BS, everything that he said about that movie.
Really?
Yeah. Complete trash. He just made up the whole thing, but he makes himself look pretty darn good in it.
Yeah.
I'll say that.
Let's see. Question of the day, answer also on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Facing the Giants?
It's a surfing movie.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
I would think big wave riding would be where that would come into play. I got knocked around by the undertow on Saturday. We went out in the ocean. My knee, it's you wouldn't think if you got a bad knee, it's going to hurt you that bad when you're in the ocean. I was paying for it on Sunday. It's getting tossed around a little bit out there. This one, hey, Mike, tell Captain Obvious to stop calling Jaguars today and stick to TV ads. Hashtag Pat Suck. All right?
Take it.
Roll on. And this one, Letterman was very funny. His first 10 years or so with Larry Bud Melman and so forth. And then he started letting his political views known, something Carson never did. Dave, Johnny will always be the king. All right. Whatever. I watch Letterman enough to know if he's talking politics
or not
on the late show. So we'll roll on. 641-1010. I believe Jim is up next here. Thanks for hanging on, Jim. How are you this morning?
Good morning, guys. I do want to say, I know Tony has a little geek gene, and I do think he needs to have, we're going to revoke his geek card, because I was shocked that he wasn't down at Hollywood Studios this weekend for one of the Star Wars weekends to greet Emperor Palpatine, who was there for a meet and greet. I'm really disappointed in you, Tony.
Tony, what do you have to say for yourself?
Look, Star Wars isn't my specific geek thing. Like, Lord of the Rings and the Marvel Universe is more my thing.
Who the hell would want to meet Emperor Palpatine? That's like the least, least character anybody would identify with, right?
You would be surprised. It is the,
all right.
Honestly, Star Wars weekends over this time period at Disney are kind of scary because you see people, it's almost like Comic-Con. It's like, oh my God, okay, really? But anyway, that being said, I wanted to talk about this whole Deflategate thing from a different perspective. And that's the whole, integrity of the game aspect of it. I truly believe this is nothing more. I'm learning more and more that this is generational, because I spent a lot of time on the practice range of the golf course with Bowie Kuhn before he passed away. I've had a number of years, known Bowie for a number of years. And he, as a diehard Reds fan, he and I would get into discussions about the Pete Rose stuff. And, you know, he was significantly older than I am. And I'm like, you know, it's not that big of a deal. And I think with the Deflategate thing, you're seeing the younger fans of the NFL going, you know, the Rick Ballew line. If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying. You know, and that's, you know, I'm starting to get to the feeling that the millennials have a different view of the integrity of the game, to the point where it doesn't matter. You look at golf, you know, I'm sure you remember the square grooves argument, Mike, a number of years back. And then it became the long putter. And now the long putter, people are upset because, well, I don't like the new long, they're going to ban the long putter. Well, it jeopardizes the integrity of the game.
The thing with some of those golf things, let me interrupt you for just a second, Jim, is that those are clearly within the realm of the rules or without. I mean, if the tour, for instance, legalizes the long putter and you use it, you're not cheating. Everyone say it may be uncomfortable with it. Well, it goes against the spirit of the game, but nobody, I don't think, questioned whether it was legal or whether it was cheating for those guys. And, you know, golf has changed its rules on a lot of that stuff over the years. But golf is a sport where it's full of sticklers, young or old, right? I mean, everything you see, all those first tee commercials, Tony, it's all about teaching kids to grow up with integrity, play the game the right way, do all those things. As far as the, if you ain't cheating, if you ain't trying, Rick Ballew is far from a millennial. That saying's been around forever, okay? So I think it's more a case of justifying what your team is doing in that particular case than it is, you know, this idea, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I don't accept that. I frankly just do not accept that. I'm not teaching my kid, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. I'm teaching my kid, don't cheat. Use your own brain power, use your own skill set, and, you know, take advantage of opportunities that come along, but don't cheat to get ahead in life.
No.
You know? So, no. I don't know. I don't buy that it's just the millennials thing that are more accepting of it. I'm not a millennial, but I'm not raising my kid, who certainly is a millennial, I guess you would call him. I'm not raising my kid to feel that way. So I think it depends on how you're brought up. And I think in this particular case, quite frankly, I think Rick Ballew's incredibly biased on the subject, is my guess. It's probably understandable. I mean, it's a team that he loves. And, you know, you're questioning whether their entire last 15-year dynasty is legitimate or not. And I think there are a lot of fans out there that don't feel like it is. But if I'm a Patriot fan, I'm probably defending it to the death, so to speak.
No, I could totally understand that. When I talk to any Patriots fans I've talked to, look, I tell them, I was like, I get it if you feel like you need to see smoking gun evidence on this thing because of what they've accomplished in the last 15 years. You're not going to accept it until you do. Understand, that's not the burden of proof in this particular situation. It doesn't have to be a smoking gun. And for a team that's shown a willingness to do these kind of things in the past, I get Patriots fans wanting to defend what the New England Patriots have done. Understand that I don't care who it is, right? Like, I don't care that it's the Patriots. I wouldn't care who it is. I'd be having the same conversation about what's going on with this
entire
situation.
Let's just say, Tony, if the original Patriots, I'm talking about the 1776 guys, had the stick-to-itiveness of Robert Kraft, we'd all be eating tea and crumpets for breakfast, all right? So, fortunately, not all Patriots backpedal and surrender as easily as this bunch do, apparently.
No, apparently.
I enjoyed saying that.
By the way, just want to point out, Facing the Giants is a faith-based football movie, because I'm getting killed for calling it a surfing movie.
I'm glad I didn't know.
Right. But, yeah, it's a faith-based football movie. I think Mark Richt makes an appearance in it as well.
All right, we got to take a quick time out. The state in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, and more of your calls straight ahead, 641-1010, both the call-in line and the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history is brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville. This date, May 20th. Tony, let's go back to 1927.
Oh!
Happy birthday, 88 years old, and still going. One of the winningest coaches, top 50 winner all time, top 25 in terms of win percentage, Bud Grant, born on this date. A career record, all with the Vikings, by the way. I believe it was 16 or 18 years. 158-96-5. Pretty good winning percentage of 620.
Good, yeah.
Led the Vikings to four Super Bowls, including he won the NFL championship, I guess, or the NFC championship, but played against Kansas City in the Super Bowl and lost that one. But he ultimately lost four Super Bowls. Still a consultant with the team, by the way. Bud Grant ranks in the top 50 all-time wins. Bill Belichick has cheated his way to the fifth place finish at the current moment with 211 victories. Tom Coughlin, 13th all-time among all NFL coaches in victories, as far as that goes, 164 and 140. Jeff Fisher, right behind Coughlin, 162 wins. And Andy Reid, also in the top 20, with 150 lifetime victories, as far as that goes. Also born in this date, a couple of former Jaguar receivers. Kasim Osgood, outstanding special teamer and a multi-time Pro Bowler in that capacity. Born on this date in 1980. So happy 35th birthday to Kasim and LaRon Robinson, who caught, I believe it was 24 passes for the Jags and made a little over $500,000 per catch. He made $14 million guaranteed in his contract, $11 million for the 1 year, $14 million guaranteed. Overall, in his ill-fated season with the Jaguars, suffered four concussions, yep, including the one, as we've detailed many times, right at our feet at the seam where the old artificial turf met the grass field when they put the new grass field in. His head hit that little seam, and that was the start of the downfall. The spiral, it was the first of four he would suffer that year. So all those guys, though, born on this date. LaRon Robinson turning 30 years old today. This date in football history brought to you by the Best Fence Company of Jacksonville, fabricating and installing the highest quality fencing products at a competitive price and giving you unsurpassed customer service. Get a professional free estimate by calling 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more info. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay, those are the four cities bidding for the opportunity to host the Super Bowls in 2019 and 2020. Super Bowl 50 after the upcoming season will be in San Francisco at the new Levi's Stadium. Super Bowl 51 in 2017 will be in Houston, and Super Bowl 52 in 2018 will be in a brand new stadium up in Minneapolis, Minnesota. But Atlanta, Miami, New Orleans, and Tampa Bay all trying to get the Super Bowls for the 2 years after that. Oakland Raiders second-year quarterback Derek Carr isn't participating in the team's OTA starting this week and may not be available until the team reports for training camp. Reportedly, Carr is dealing with numbness in his right index finger, a condition that the Associated Press feels may be caused by a nerve issue that could require surgery. Christian Ponder working out with the Raiders' first team until Carr is back in the fold for the team.
People question whether Derek Carr had the nerve to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball downfield. And
last year would say no.
Based on his 5-point-whatever yards per attempt, he would seem to indicate he got rid of it pretty quickly. This story about Aaron Hernandez, the headline is so sensational. Aaron Hernandez involved in gang-related fight in prison. He's the lookout. I'm not saying that doesn't involve you on the periphery, but clearly they're trying to get you to click on the story.
Yeah.
Thinking, Aaron Hernandez got bloodied, or, you know, what did he do? It's so salacious and sensational. I gotta admit, I have a fascination with, true prison stories, like what really goes on, you know, because it's such
a different little society.
It's a different universe. I mean, think about it. That door slams behind you, and you've got a life sentence without the possibility of parole. You can forget whatever you think about the world, because the world just changed completely. It was not the first fight Aaron Hernandez has been involved in. And quite frankly, he's probably smart. You might as well embrace it, right? If you try to go in there and go all soft, if that's where you're going to live the rest of your life, I think Aaron Hernandez should try to cultivate the reputation that he will drop you at a whim, on a whim, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And, not for me, brother. You will not see me, despite my fantasy of pulling off the perfect bank heist, Tony. You will not see me try to execute that. And, because I would not get away with it. And I'm not hard. And I'm not a fighter. And I will not intimidate anyone as far as that whole thing would go. If you want to get in, 641-1010 is the way to do it here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. Four cities vying to make bids for 2019 and 2020 for Super Bowls. You personally, give me the personal Tony rankings on how you would rank these cities for your own personal desire of who gets a Super Bowl. How would you rank these cities in order of preference? Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa, and Miami.
Well, given that it's not baseball season, I don't care if we go to Atlanta. Like, if it was in baseball season, I'd be like, yes, we need to be in Atlanta every year.
Wow.
For the Super Bowl so that I can go catch a Braves game or two during Super Bowl week.
Okay.
But
since it's not.
Since it's not, Atlanta's probably the bottom of the list. Honestly,
I think so too.
And I would put New Orleans at the top,
despite Dragos.
Yeah. I'd go.
you'd give it
I'd go
shot.
Attack New Orleans again.
Would you go on the pub crawl again with me?
Yeah, I would. I know which drinks I would skip.
Yes,
I know which ones. I
imagine
skip.
They might have a brand new selection of watering holes for the pub crawl.
They probably do. I know I'm not doing any more tequila. I haven't touched tequila since that night, and I don't ever plan to again. But New Orleans would be at the top of my list, and Miami Tampa is all the same to me, honestly.
See, to me, honestly, my first consideration was I can be home like 3.5 hours from the time the game ends if it's in Tampa. I could just drive straight home, and I've done it before. I drove straight through after the Arizona-Pittsburgh Super Bowl in Tampa, and it was so great, so convenient. So from that standpoint, that even puts Miami into contention with New Orleans. Because to me, New Orleans is great, don't get me wrong. But, I mean, it's not like we're there during Super Bowl week in a Mardi Gras parade, right? I mean, we're working, and then we're going out. And you tell me Miami doesn't have places to go out? You know what I mean?
No, sure.
Every one of these places is places to go out. And the Crown Royal isn't any better in New Orleans than it is in any of these other locales.
No,
so.
But the food is.
The food's
like,
pretty good.
As a fan of that, the Creole dishes and all that, I enjoyed New Orleans.
The food's good. But
and I got a casino in New Orleans.
That's true. The casino's nice. Yeah. But it's a little bit further away from home. That's all.
No, it is.
That's all I'm saying. I'm factoring my convenience. People would, clearly, fans would choose, I would think, New Orleans number one, Miami number two, and after that, a big who cares.
I mean, we can drive to all of them. We
right.
drove to New Orleans last time. We just couldn't watch the game and be home in 3 hours except for Tampa.
All kidding aside, Dan and Jeff were talking about this morning. Dan has called for a Super Bowl championship for the Jaguars before 2020. And I think we should all be on board with that. that would be great, right?
I mean,
awesome. You got a nice 2-year window there. Now, you could say, I don't want to wait that long. Now, when they're talking about the 2019 Super Bowl, are they talking about the 2018 season?
Yes.
Okay, so so we're playing the 2015 season. So 15, 16, 17.
It'll be year 5.
3 more years. Year 5 of Blake. He's playing under the team mandated 5th year extension picked up.
Huge extension he signed after we lost in the AFC Championship game the year before, but just on the cusp of getting there.
Or hell with that, after they're chasing their second consecutive Super Bowl. Whatever. Doesn't matter. But wouldn't that be amazing? Seriously. You look at, all right, it's very nice what the Bold City Brigade has done. More than nice. That they've got, what is it up to, Tyler? Like 1,200, I think, was the last count, if I'm not mistaken, from Bold City Cap. 1,200 people going to see the Jags defeat the Bucks in week 5 coming up. Could you imagine if the Jags are playing in Tampa?
Right.
What they would do
Tampa,
to that city?
Tampa, Miami, Atlanta.
Any one of those.
Right. Even New Orleans is close enough that, again, you can drive.
Of course it is. I mean, any one of those, that's the perfect little pocket of, other than Jacksonville itself. And this regime seems to indicate no real interest in pursuing another one.
I can't imagine a week of the Bold City Brigade in New Orleans. Like, just the things that would be going on in that city for that week if this team gets to that point.
How good would that be?
It'd be awesome.
Oh, my goodness, man. I just, I don't even want to allow myself to go too far down that road. Let's win 8 games first. Can we get 8-8, please? Can we get a Ryan Tannehill-type season out of Blake Bortles? Whether that means the 8-8 record, but the positive TD to interception ratio, I'd take 8-8, Tony. I know not everybody's, look, no limits. I get it. But man, 8-8 would almost equal your win total from the last 3 years.
Yep.
And, I would take that.
8-8, you'd feel pretty good about 2016.
I would take that 8-8 where you're like, oh man, we could have been 11-5 if you just, these handful of plays went the other way. And then, right, you get Dante Fowler Jr. back, you have a mid-first-round draft pick to add to the mix, maybe one or two more key free agents, everybody else is mostly young. Let's go rock and roll, and let's roll deep into the postseason next year. 641-1010 if you'd like to get in, and also 641-1010 serving as the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Share your thoughts with us on a variety of topics. The extra point vote passed yesterday. They'll move that bad boy back to where it's a 32 or 33-yard field goal, depending on your snapping preference. We'll discuss that a little bit and get some more of your reaction to the news of the day. It's all coming up on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along. Metro Rooter brings you the show every Wednesday. Jaguars Today, live at Everbank Field. All right, Tyler, hop on here. Give us the lowdown. We've got UNF baseball going on in the AM right now.
Oh, yeah.
So we're booming on 92.5 FM. But if people are trying to listen on the app, this may not help them, because if they're trying to listen and are not listening, but this may be instructive for somebody in the future. If they use the TuneIn Radio app, there's a choice to listen to the 1010 XL AM or the 92.5 FM stream. Is that correct?
Correct. You are correct. Go there. Go to local radio, Jacksonville. And you'll see 92.5 FM. You'll catch us and the rest of Frangie's show and also XL Primetime the rest of the day. That's where you'll find us. Or go to 1010XL.com and click on the link for 92.5 FM stream.
Right. If you want to take it right off the website, you can always do that on either side of the dial as far as that goes. But I don't know what app I have. Apparently, I don't have the TuneIn Radio app, Tony. I went to the Play Store. I saw 1010XL. I downloaded that app. And it plays what's on 1010XL. So right now I can listen to Richard Miller with cutting edge UNF baseball. What is this, conference tournament time?
Yes.
First round. They have the top seed.
There you go. Maybe they'll be playing in Omaha, you're telling me. It's possible, right?
There's a possibility.
Be a phenomenal story.
It would be great.
They're saying they pretty much have to win the tournament just to go to Omaha, though. They could possibly be left out of the big dance, so to say.
If they're the number one seed, right?
Well, there's a couple more steps in this whole thing. This is the baseball tournament. This is the conference tournament. Then you have the regionals in college baseball, then super regionals, then Omaha. So it's still a ways off to get to that point. But certainly if they win this conference tournament, they're at least going to be in a regional somewhere.
Well, there you have it.
Yeah.
There's your UNF baseball update on 92.5 FM, because that's where we are.
I'm an expert on college baseball because my team is the defending champions.
Is that right?
That's
is that
right.
why?
Vanderbilt.
Are you an expert on women's college tennis as well?
I'm learning about the sport. I'm learning to love the sport of women's college tennis.
You got to talk mad smack to Maurice Jones-Drew next time you see him?
I guess I could. He wouldn't have any idea what I'm
Vandy
talking
over
about.
Ocala.
But Vandy beat UCLA last night for their third team national championship in school history, all since 2007.
You know what's happening right now, Tony, for the people who are on the 92.5 FM stream or listening on the FM side, one or the other? They're saying, please go back to talking about the David Letterman show. Right? Just, you know, invariably, you spend 2 minutes talking about something off the beaten path. By the way, what's today's date, Tony? It's May 20th,
yes,
right?
It is.
What critical thing are the Jaguars doing to prepare for the season today?
They're watching Entourage.
They're watching the movie Entourage, okay? And not a whole lot critical going on with your Jacksonville Jaguars on May 20th, okay?
Nope.
We're trying to touch base with what's happening with the Jags, what's going on around the league, and if occasionally, you know, a reference to, I don't know, David Letterman's last show comes on, don't be shocked that that's going to happen in the offseason in particular. 2 hours, a lot of time to talk about nothing, and let's be frank, on May 20th. So, right now, just realize, as you tweet me and text me and admonish us, get back to the Jaguars, talk more Jaguars, that, first of all, A, we talk more Jaguars than any show on this network, and B, we could always be talking about something you like even less. There's always that possibility out there, so,
yeah.
Just sharing that.
I read a
you.
Book about a year with the criminally insane this weekend. We could
did
be talking
you?
About that. I did.
Did you?
Yeah, Hospital for the Criminally Insane.
Ooh, see, now that's intriguing to me. Real stories?
Yeah, it was a psychiatrist that was working in that ward.
Really?
For an entire year.
And do you have this, but you own this book like in book form, or is
no.
this like a Kindle situation? Your library?
Got it out of the library because I am that 30-year-old dude who still goes to the library.
You know what? You know what my wife is? She's a freaking librarian, okay?
Right.
And I still don't take advantage of the library the way I should. Let's see. Some more texts on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line asking you today which movie would fire up the team the most for a pregame movie to go out there and make them thirst for blood and such.
Let's go!
We got Any Given Sunday in. We got Rocky IV, which is your favorite of the Rockies.
I don't know if it's my favorite. It's the one I've seen the most. I do really like Rocky
IV. You talk
IV.
About that movie enough. It better
because
be your favorite.
Because it's so dumb and fun. Like, it's just from beginning to end, there's like six montages in Rocky IV. It's incredible. That
But at the end, it's like, if I can get along and you can get along. I don't want get along. I want Clubber Lang getting destroyed, right? I want Rocky reigning as a champion, right?
He took down Russia. What else could you possibly want?
Then he hugged him.
If you can change.
He hugged them.
Then eyes can change. Anybody can change.
A lot of votes for the for 300.
It's
or
got
the
a
three.
Good moral.
Is it 300 or the 300?
300.
Yeah,
just 300.
Just 300. It was weird last night watching The Voice as somebody came
it's
on.
Just Voice. I'm just kidding.
No, it is The Voice because somebody said, "How y'all doing, The Voice?" And
oh,
it was
that's
like,
weird.
That's a strange.
The article is weird there.
I didn't like it. Unnecessary roughness. Bah ha ha ha. Although. Sinbad. Yeah, Sinbad, though. The Program, there's another one.
Mm-hmm.
We got to vote for the movie Joe's Apartment. What are you going to tell us this one's about? Surfing?
No, Joe's Apartment is not about surfing.
It says,
is that the movie with the talking?
Persevere over incredible odds.
Yeah, is that the one with the talking cockroaches?
That's Ted. No, I'm kidding.
No, that's a teddy bear. I think it is. I think it's
is that Donnie Darko?
No,
that's a rabbit.
That is
I haven't seen any of these movies. I watched Ted for like on TV, and I know it's probably neutered significantly. I watched
probably.
Ted for like 30 minutes. And I was like,
I feel the same way about Ted. I didn't get it.
Take it or leave it, you know? This one in on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line regarding Deflategate.
Mm.
Wouldn't it be just like the Patriots to start the season with Garoppolo lighting it up, having a few great games, and then they turn around and trade him for a first-round pick, replacing the one that they lost? That would be, actually, very very Patriot-like in recent vintage, we're talking about a few minutes ago.
Could be, but it feels like Garoppolo's the guy that they want to have as the next quarterback after Brady.
Oh, sure. And look, and it's funny the way that person lays it out, because you're thinking, oh, yeah, you know, wouldn't that just be the case? Well, then they would have had, you know, they basically would have taken a second-round pick and upgraded it to a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. So they didn't. It's not like they got it for nothing.
Right.
As far as that goes. You know, Hacker was talking about this the other day, and he was saying he just thought it was the most overblown aspect of this is the first round pick, which I think is crazy. I think the first round pick is much more significant than the money, and second only to any games Tom Brady might miss.
Me too.
For that organization. And his point was, well, you know, they pick late. He goes, look, here's a couple of years where they didn't even have a first round pick. So I went back and looked at one of those years in recent memory where they didn't have a first round pick. Well, the one year they had it taken away. And they actually ended up with a pick that year, right? Because they
traded the year before
to acquire San Fran's first rounder.
San Francisco, which was number 7, and they traded down from 7 to 10 and took Gerard Mayo, but they didn't have their pick that
correct
year, which would have been 31.
So they didn't have their own. But there was another year that they traded out of the first round entirely. So, yeah, I'll grant it, they didn't have a first round pick. They persevered. What'd they get for that first round pick? I looked it up, okay? They acquired 4 draft picks for that pick. One of them turned out to be Jamie Collins, who's their best linebacker now, and people think is a rising star. Couple of guys, I doubt they're even on the roster. Couple of guys I really hadn't heard of. And then the last guy that they drafted, or well, they took the pick in the 7th round. They traded that pick along with Jeff Dempsey to Tampa. They got LeGarrette Blount. Now, after that point, LeGarrette Blount left and joined the Steelers. But I will argue that had they not had known problem child LeGarrette Blount already in-house, they wouldn't have necessarily stepped right out last year to claim him and pick him up after the Pittsburgh Steelers cut him because he was supposedly a bad influence on Le'Veon Bell. You think they win the Super Bowl without LeGarrette Blount last year? I'm not sure they do.
Right.
I mean, he was big down the stretch for that team. So, okay, they didn't have a first-round pick. They got a heck of a lot of value for that first-round pick along the way. If nothing else, getting Jamie Collins, who is a rising star among linebackers in the National Football League, that would be enough. They got a little bit more out of the equation as far as that goes. Vote for Remember the Titans. Wouldn't think you'd get too many of those on a show called Jaguars Today, but it's okay. That came up as well.
Certainly inspirational.
It is. I you know what? I don't know if I've seen it from start to finish straight through.
Really?
Like in one sitting. I've never sat down to, you know, I never rented it, never went to see it in the theater.
I watched it just a couple weeks ago again.
I've seen part, but I've never like caught it from the beginning and watched it all the way through. I've probably seen the whole movie pieced together, you know, but it's one of those I don't care all that much about. Red Dawn was on the other day though. I will point that out. They did pass the vote yesterday.
You give me a hard time about Rocky IV.
Red Dawn, and now stop it. There's not a bad word to be said about Red Dawn.
That movie's dumb.
Red Dawn.
Yeah.
The first Red Dawn.
It's dumb. That doesn't mean you can't enjoy it.
It's so just, not dumb.
It's just dumb.
The movie's great. You can have my gun when you pry it from my cold, dead fingers. And then they do. They actually do pry it from his cold fingers. I don't know how cold they were, but they were dead.
Rocky won the Cold War.
Rocky did not win the Cold War.
He did it.
Okay?
He took Russia.
You know why? You know why there was a Cold War to be won? Because Red Dawn won the Hot War, the actual shooting war. Okay? They tamped that thing down so Rocky could go win a Cold War by hoisting a log through
Siberia.
He
killed his best friend.
Stop it.
He got revenge.
Here we go.
He's not a machine. He's a man.
Tony, the extra point will now be a 33-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Whoopee. Right? I mean, You look at some of the numbers.
We all knew it was coming.
If you look back, if you take a 10-year window, you can make the point that they have found the sweet spot that kind of matches up the risk-reward with going for two. Because if you go back 10 years, the success rate of field goals from 32 to 33 yards, and keep in mind, this is from a variety of areas in between the hash marks, right? Where on an extra point, you could pick to put it on a hash mark if that's your preference, but you can certainly line it up in the middle every single time. The success rate on 30 and 32-yard field goals in the last 10 years has been 91.6% of the time. So basically, every time you're kicking a point, mathematically, you should be earning 0.916 points, right? 91% of a point is in the bank every time. Whereas the success rate over the last 10 years of two-point conversions has been 47.4 on two. So if you double that, you get 948. So you're getting 94% of a point every time you go for two. Sometimes you miss, but the next time you make. So statistics, the math would tell you if those trends held up, in the long run, you're better off going for two every time, because out of every 100 attempts, you're going to score three more points, something along those lines, right? It doesn't seem significant, but that's what the math will back it up. Now, in a case-by-case basis, it's final play of the game. Do you go for the tie? Do you go for the win? There are a lot of factors that go into that. However, the success rate in just the most recent years is even higher than that. It's closer to 95% success rate for the one-pointer. So the question I'd ask you, do you think this really encourages, other than having a guy like Chip Kelly who may be inclined and wants to go for two more anyway, do you think this will push the typical coach into going for two more, significantly more?
No.
I don't either.
No, in the end, I don't think so. I think what it's going to do is it brings down the percentage on the extra points so that coaches may be in positions where they have to chase a point more than they have for the past 15 or 20 years.
If they miss one early.
Right, if they miss an extra point. But I think that's the only thing you're going to see change with this new rule. And honestly, I think that's what the league was going for. They just didn't want the extra point to be a completely automatic thing anymore. I saw an article on Pro Football Talk today where one of the officials with the league was talking about, look, this is a one-year thing right now, them snapping the ball from the 15-yard line. And if they're making 98, 99% of the kicks this year from the 15-yard line, we'll move it back more.
Right.
Like, there is a consideration to do that, and I think that speaks to this idea of they just don't want the extra point to be completely automatic. I think they want it to be somewhere between 90 and 95% of teams converting those extra points so that you do have decisions later in games that we're not having right now in the National Football League. But early in games, first half, three quarters of football games, I think it's going to play out almost exactly the same. Teams are going to kick an extra point after they score a touchdown, and we'll see what decisions they make late in games.
I would agree with you for the most part. Although 95%, you know, means one out of 20, you're going to miss an extra point. And you're right. That may be where you get the increase in two-point conversion attempts, is the makeup, trying to chase that one you let get away early on in the game. But also on the same side of that argument, where it's a one-year deal, they could move it back, as you suggested. They could also eliminate and say, you know what? It didn't have any...
Didn't do anything.
Any significance whatsoever. Yeah. We're going to vote on it. Regardless, it's a one-year deal. So they're going to have to re-vote on it next year. And only two teams voted against this move, apparently.
Yeah, the Raiders vote against everything.
Correct, because they're just anti-establishment. And, you know, the big change would have been moving the two-point conversion attempt to the one-yard line. And you can make a lot of arguments, good and bad, on both sides. It does probably become an inherently more dangerous play. If you're talking about throwing more, you know, quarterback sneaks into the mix, some QB, I mean, they already take place, but if they take place now on plays that you typically wouldn't have been running otherwise, I think there'd be a lot more discussion about that as far as that goes.
Sure. And honestly, I think... Look, hopefully we get the chance to talk to Josh Scobie about this. I know he talked to Mike DiRocco a little bit about it. I think that it enhances the importance of that position. If you got a guy who is still automatic from that distance, then that's an advantage. Look, the reason that it would go to, you know, between 90 and 95% is because there's some kicker, some team in the league that's dealing with a kicker that's making them 80, 85% of the time, right? Like, there's somebody that's going to drag that number down, and there's going to be some kickers that keep pushing that number up, and Scobie's a good enough kicker that he can keep that number high for this particular football team. I think it adds to the value of that position when everything is said and done.
Two quick ones on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Sorry, but Tony is right. Red Dawn's a story of some farm kids taking on the entire Russian army. Correction, the entire Russian and Cuban armies. Thank you very much. All right. Wolverines! All right, don't you forget it. And then this following one, Fat Schmitty is dumb. Red Dawn is not. So take that, Fat Schmitty.
Red Dawn is a dumb movie that I like.
Shut up, Fat Schmitty.
I didn't say anything about not liking Red Dawn, but I like Rocky IV, too, and it's dumb. Like, I'll tell you, it's stupid. It's a stupid movie.
Fantastic. The Russians and the Cubans. That's and any right. other commies that wanted to try
we
to plant
them down
their flag
all the red
in America.
States.
Right? You know it, baby. All right, we'll come back. Fan feedback spotlight today. Maybe it's Red Dawn. Which movie will fire you up? Which movie would you play for a football team to fire him up? I'm guessing it's not Entourage, But we'll find out the results of Sergio Brown's best day ever as the Jags take a team outing to go see a sneak preview of Entourage, mm-hmm. the movie. And Sergio Brown tweeted hashtag best day ever as he was showing off some of his Entourage DVDs. So he's very excited about it. We'll share with you the results of the fan feedback spotlight coming up. If you want to get in, still time at 641-1010. It is a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars Today continues on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. What's Turtle doing right now, Tony? I don't know.
I guess if I was on the Jaguars, I would know. Field trip day.
Is he calling himself the deflator in the movie?
Possibly.
The guy lost a lot of weight.
He did. What happens when you're in the spotlight? You get a personal trainer, you make some money, get a personal trainer, go up there chasing the ladies. Jaguars offseason schedule is out in our greedy little hands right now. You're not going to be happy about this, though, Jaguar fans.
I'm not thrilled about it.
Well, first of all, practice, for those of you listening on 92.5 FM right now, we'll fill you in, or one of the apps that gives you access to that. People are saying, why are they playing baseball? You realize we have more than one obligation as a radio station. And on May 20th, the obligation of actual live sports for a team that we carry all their games will take precedence, at least on one of the two channels.
Mm-hmm. Hello, FM.
Over Jaguars Today. No matter if that's right or not, it's the way it is. Okay, here's the OTA schedule. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We knew that, right? Here, by the way, all practices, 9:35 to 11:35 in the morning. So right in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I don't like it.
And the following week, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday, they'll be practicing,
mm-hmm.
okay? And then the week after that, Monday, Tuesday, off Wednesday, practice Thursday and Friday. All that's the OTA schedule, right? Goes through June 12th, basically mm-hmm. 3 or 4 days a week. None of those open to the public.
Dang it.
Not a one. So, we could be doing our show out there, but since they're going to be practicing...
Yeah, I don't like this.
Right? There's really no reason to be on the field. There's no public to...
Right.
Meet and greet with.
Well, we're not really allowed to talk about anything that happens.
You can't talk about what
anyway.
You see during a closed to the public
right.
session.
It just may inform some opinion you have about a player.
Correct. But you can't really just say, hey, so-and-so is dropping a bunch of passes
sure.
or this is
I'm
happening.
A little sad I don't get to go out there That's and see happening. It this year.
But we're told, because what happens in the off-season? A lot of these practices wrap up a little bit early. We're told that each day before the show gets done, each day of OTAs, they'll bring a player by the studio.
Ooh, I like that.
To visit. To chat.
Now, I like that part of it.
With Fat Schmitty.
Oh, the rest of it, I don't like any of that. I don't like that I don't get to go watch practice or none of it's open to the public or any of that. But talking to a player every day, that'll be fun.
You know what? I'll let you have some alone time, some one-on-one time next Tuesday.
Thank you.
I will not be here next Tuesday. But you will be. As the Jags are toiling away on the practice field. So there's your news for what it is. Practice sessions open only to the media, and none of those sessions that I just read off are open to the public for the next 3 weeks. So them's the breaks, I'm sure, as they get later in the summer. I would suspect, you know, you get...
Yeah, we just heard the veteran minicamp maybe in mid-June.
Right.
That sounds like it's going to be open to the public, maybe. So we'll let you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I got this on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line before we get to the fan feedback spotlight. Not much talk about the backup quarterback position. Do you anticipate any competition for Chad Henne being brought in? No.
Nope.
I do not. What's out there? There's nothing
exactly.
out there. I mean, and that's the thing. They made their choice to lock up Henne last year rather than to pursue a Ryan Fitzpatrick. This is the guy that they felt, you know, for better or worse, is the guy who's going to be a team player.
Yeah.
He's going to come in. He's going to accept his role. He's going to be a good guy for Blake to lean on in the film room. That kind of stuff out there. Didn't play well at all.
No.
At the beginning of last
year. And hopefully
year.
With what should be a better offensive line and a bunch of guys going into their second year, hopefully he doesn't have to play this year. But if he did, then the situation is certainly better than it was at the beginning of 2014 for Chad Henne with what's going on that offensive side of the ball. At least we all think it will be. So he should be helped by that, but we don't want to see Chad Henne play.
My goodness, it has to be better than the Washington game last year.
Oh, gosh.
10 sacks.
Oh, it was terrible.
Not good. But no competition for Chad Henne. I expect that they keep three quarterbacks. Stephen Morris is the guy. I don't think they'll keep three quarterbacks, to be quite frank with you. I think they might keep Stephen Morris on the practice squad. Still got practice squad eligibility. But I don't see them, you know, going out. At this point, that ship has long sailed as far as that goes. And, you know, this time next year, they'll be evaluating, do we re-sign Chad Henne? Or prior to this time next year, but next offseason, do we re-sign him for a couple of years?
Or
Stephen Morris ready to step up and run the offense that we need him to be? I think that would be the hope.
Right.
Young guy, strong arm, you know, coming up in the system, and now you got a new guy, and then you bring in another young guy to put on the practice squad to develop and, you know, start the cycle fresh once more. By the way, number one seed UNF leading number six seed Kennesaw State 5-0, bottom of the second.
Boom!
Right now. For all of those of you who only have FM radio and are dying to hear UNF baseball and are upset that you're having to listen to Jaguars today on the FM side of things, we apologize.
Take it, Kennesaw State.
Take it! Take it, Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the ghost of Kennesaw Mountain Landis. Was he the first commissioner of baseball? He's certainly one of the early commissioners
of baseball.
I'm not sure if he was the first. He was the Black Sox scandal guy, wasn't he?
Yes,
he was. If I'm not mistaken. Tony, Fan Feedback Spotlight today, which is brought to you every day by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asked people, what movie would you play to get the troops fired up pregame to go out there and play a football game? What would be the best pregame movie to watch to fire up a football team? What do we get?
Here's what we got from Isaiah. He said, Caddyshack from Paolo. We believe in victory. Chant by Gus and dance by Aaron Colvin.
Just play that.
Show that for an hour and a half. From Brian, Rocky IV. Hashtag the Colts are Draco. From Deadman, Mad Max, Fury Road. Oh, yes. Mad Max Fury Road. From at Irish Jaguar, Guardians of the Galaxy, ragtag group of underachievers becoming greater than the sum of their parts. From Chris, The Replacement. From Demetrius, Any Given Sunday, it's the best football movie in my opinion. And Al Pacino's final pregame speech gets anyone fired up. I do love that final speech. The rest of the movie, take it or leave it for me. From Cristiano, fire up Dante's Inferno. I think he's saying because it's about a volcano that explodes, so it's actually hot.
All right.
The movie is actually about fire. Backdraft! It's Adam. Says 300. No fear. Teamwork. Blood, guts, and glory. Was the explanation needed? From Kenny.
Nah, you don't need to explain 300. 300 is amazing.
From Kenny. Stalingrad. Extremely motivating, even with subtitles. From Richard. At this point, if I were the Jags, I would turn on the Bad News Bears. Hashtag go Jaguars.
Oh, no.
I do love the Bad News Bears. From Black Dog Express, the highly acclaimed and pregame inspiration. I'm going to get you, sucker. From Dakota, I'd go with 300. Hashtag this is Sparta. From Viper Driver, Independence Day. From David, Porky's. And from Ronnie, I mean...
Porky's, huh?
I know. I don't get that one either. From Ronnie, I mean, how could it not be Mad Max Fury Road?
I don't know. I haven't seen it.
My gosh, do I love Fury Road.
Does it fire you up to go find water in the desert?
I don't know if I would watch it before a game because it actually wore me out. Like, all three times I watched it, I came out of the theater tired. It was an experience.
You might need to get some exercise.
It was just this two-hour assault. I do love that Mad Max Fury Road.
Here's what I got, Fat Schmitty, on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. We got Hoosiers from Jesse Green. Alan Munger said, remember the Titans. Alan Wynn said, when the game stands tall, the only movie with an actual Jaguar. Maurice Jones-Drew making a cameo. Johnny Crump said, cool runnings. Think about those Jamaican athletes overcoming the extreme cold to almost win. Hashtag motivation.
You dead?
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen Cool Runnings.
Really?
No. Yes, really. TJ Neem went with Gladiator, Cinderella Man, Any Given Sunday. Are they no Braveheart in all this?
I know.
Braveheart's a little long. Braveheart's the one that makes you want to go out there and you know, lay down your life for the cause.
Right. Do you just cut it off before that last 20 minutes because it's so sad?
Yeah, maybe. And then I got a couple of votes here for The Age of Adeline. And
no, you didn't.
I swear to you. Jeff Cummings said The Age of Adeline seemed to work for Balls Davis, and he has lived on a fierce and tenacious age since seeing the movie. And then Kenneth Wayne went with The Age of Adeline, and if they lose, they'd have to watch it six more times in a row.
I like that.
Here's your motivation. You don't want to see this again, do you?
I realized through the show that I had actually seen the preview for this movie, and the title just didn't stick with me because of how bad I thought the preview was. Like, when someone reminded, it's that Blake Lively movie, I was like, oh, it's the one where she's, like, immortal. or whatever, right? Yeah, the title for that movie did not stick in my head at all.
What was the one she was in where she was, you know, it was the whole drug scene with her and the two guys?
With Benicio del Toro. I don't remember the name of it. I saw it. It was okay.
It was like not like hooligans.
She was hooking up
or,
with like, yeah, the or, two, she was hooking up with the two different
two guys.
Drug dealers, right?
Yes.
I don't remember the name of it. It was an Oliver Stone movie. Like, I remember all
name
these details about the movie, but I don't remember what it's called.
Not important. It was okay.
We did just get on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line.
Did
Miracle.
We? What did we get?
Miracle. Which,
Miracle.
Gosh, I love Miracle.
But it's got, I'd rather watch the little kid in the YouTube video doing the speech. Have you seen the little kid doing the speech? That's awesome, man.
Yeah,
I love
good.
That kid. Green Street Hooligans. See, I don't know. Now we're going to start getting like the names of porn movies or something. I'm not going to recognize
Green Street
them.
Hooligans is good.
Is that a good one?
Yeah.
Good porn movie,
it's,
you're saying?
It's with the... No.
That's a really good porn movie.
Is that where Teal Street Hooligans comes from?
I don't know. That's a good question, though.
I have no idea if it comes from that or not. It's a soccer hooligan movie.
Okay.
With
Oh, that may be where. I would think Teal Street Hooligans
why can't
would
I think
come
of his
from that.
Name?
Yes.
The guy who plays Frodo Baggins... And
man, I don't know.
Elijah Wood. Elijah
oh, yeah,
Wood
that guy.
And one of the leads from Sons of Anarchy. Like full British accent. Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. It's those two guys are the leads in Green Street. It's actually pretty good.
Well, there you have it. And now that's everything you didn't need to know.
Savages.
You do anyway. Savages. Hooligans,
that's
savages.
It. They gave it to us on the text line.
Yes. Something like that. That text line's an amazing invention. Thanks to Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar for inventing that. That's much appreciated. All right, that does it for us today. Jaguars today, another stellar edition in the time capsule. It goes. Hope the Jags enjoy the movie Entourage.
Mm-hmm.
I need to know if Sasha Grey made an appearance in the movie. Maybe we'll talk to Sergio Brown about this tomorrow. He was very excited to go see it. So thanks to all of you out there for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, and for Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey.